Good afternoon, Acadiana. Welcome aboard to Kane Radio's Chip Shots. A little programming note, we're not going to be talking golf anymore. Boxcore and I decided that since no one really cares about golf, we're going to be talking football for the next hour. So if you want to talk football, give us a call. Today's April 1st, right? So happy April Fool's Day. No, we're talking golf for sure. What beautiful weather for golf, my goodness. But they say March comes in like a lion, goes out like a lamb. I think they got it backwards this year. It's been pretty windy, but nonetheless, nice and dry, and golfers have been enjoying themselves. I know the golf courses I played lately, they had tremendous turnout for the holidays, the Easter holidays. Once again, happy Easter to everybody, which was yesterday, of course. All right, let's thank our sponsors before we move along too far. Golfballs.com, our title sponsor. Anything you want in golf, you can find at golfballs.com, right there on Arnold Boulevard in Lafayette in the shopping center. You can go in and try out their demonstrator golf clubs from all the top-line companies and hit into their simulator. Of course, they specialize in logoed brand golf balls. Anything you want in golf, go see the good folks at golfballs.com, Arnold Boulevard, right there in Lafayette. Of course, our local golf clubs, St. Mary, Eagle Ridge, Cane Row, Sugar Oaks, Bellevue, and Atchafalaya. Without them, like I always say, we'd have no local golf news. So let's start out with St. Mary's. Coming up this weekend, Veterans Golf Tournament, Veterans of Foreign War, second annual golf tournament, April the 6th, at 8 o'clock shotgun, two-person scramble, $90 per player, and includes a mulligan and one move up on the hole, so you get to move up a tee box according to your age. Of course, St. Mary's is one of our local nine-hole courses along with Bellevue. Also at St. Mary's, they recently had a tournament in the championship flight. First place went to Abram Hartley. Second place, Taylor Bricado. In the first flight, Jim Williams was first. Second place, Kevin Adams. Then that sister course, the other nine-hole course, Bellevue, they had their third annual Lydia Cancer Society. Three-man scramble. First flight went to... In the first place in the first flight was Doug Robichaud, Mickey Michel, and Chase Arbonneau. They were minus 13. Second place, Brian Carline, David Livingston, and C.J. Ackman. Then in the second flight, first place, Bill McNett, Keith Domain, and Kevin Duvall. Second place, Keith Hodges, Bernard Derwent, and Jimmy Young. Then on Sunday, they had a shamble. Of course, we know a shamble is where both players, or if it's a three-man team, three people hit, you select the best shot, and then you play your own ball from there in. So first place with a minus one went to Dean Dache, Cody James, and Scott Goulas. Second place, the owner and operator, Ty Burdett, Josh Thomas, and Pat Herbert, or Hebert. Atchafalaya, it's that time of the year down at Atchafalaya. They're fixing to aerify their greens with a deep tine aerifying. They're going to close their course tomorrow, April the 2nd, do the front nine, and then on Wednesday, April 3rd, the back nine. So if you go and play there, you're going to be limited. Down at Eagle Ridge, got a chance to go visit with Gary and the folks over there. They were enjoying just sitting out, watching people hit on the driving range. It was a beautiful day. I can't remember which day I went, but... They said there's no big news going on, but they did get their golf course re-rated, and now they're pushing for the Louisiana Golf Association's handicap system. It's $30 per year where they chart your handicap, and also they're promoting their MGA, Men's Golf Association. Of course, we know with that big promotion from last year in the summertime, they ran a huge promotion. And they got a whole bunch of members, so now their MGA ought to be really big when they have events. It's only $30 a year to be a member of their association. And then our Acadiana Pro-Am Association is going to tee it up there this month, April. Once again, it's April 1st, right? This is no fool, because next week we're going to tee it up at Eagle Ridge, and you get your choice to play Tuesday, Wednesday, or Thursday of next week. Then the last Pro-Am held was out at Cane Row, and a nice turnout thanks to Doug Beard, once again our tournament director, for getting these numbers. 168 players teed it up. Of course, you know, the big advantage there is that you get to play on days that you normally have off or other than Thursday or whatever, and if it rains or something, you get an option to play on an additional day. So first place with a plus 12 is a team of Dean Dache, Richard Williams, Boyd Booty, and Bo Provo. Tied for second at plus 11 and winning on a scorecard playoff was Barry Battaglia, Dan Coriel, Mike Grisby, and Robert Burton. They won $110, and of course that money is redeemable at golfballs.com. What a great blessing to have golfballs.com in their merchandise showroom, which is plentiful, to be able to redeem our merchandise there. Finishing third also with plus 11 was Steve Didier, Mike Vanager, Ronnie Richard, and Neil Dore. They won $75. On the individual side, the low A player was Eric Indes. Congrats to Eric, longtime golfer in our parish here. Played a lot of golf with him. He shot his age for the first time, 67. What a great score. B player, the winner there was Barry Battaglia, plus 10. C player, Richard Williams, plus 6. And D player, John Foti, plus 9. And also at Cane Row, they have a new set of specials to offer to golfers who aren't members there. Their Twilight Special, Tuesday through Sunday, every day of the week, in other words. After 3 p.m., only $32. You can play 18 holes if it's not real crowded, because it doesn't get dark till after 7 o'clock. Also, their senior rate for those 60-plus years of age, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, also $32. But if you want to be a member, what a great benefit you have, a lot of perks. And if this is the time of the year to join, right in the springtime when golf and golfers are itching to play coming out of the winter, all the big tournaments are this time of the year. If you're a member, you get 20% off of their soft goods, 10% off of their hard goods. It's only $142 a month. And this is the one I like the most. The perk, that is, you get to book your tee time 1 week in advance, where non-members can only do it 1 day in advance. And I know when they're real busy, it's a big benefit that you get to play when you want to play, and in case you have other things to do, you don't want to spend a whole lot of time on the golf course. You want to get in and out on your selected tee times. So they also chart your handicap according to the Louisiana Golf Association. And they waive your MGA dues. Raymond Bernard is the president there. They also licensed to sell UL Raging Cajun logoed merchandise. And then in their pro shop, buy one, get one free. Johnny O polos, Foot Joy polos, all golf shoes are 40% off. So if they have the right size, go in there and track it out and see if you can find your size. Their golf gloves, 20% off. Foot Joy pants, 30% off. Coming up out at Eagle Ridge, or rather Cane Row, this coming weekend, the big Jimmy Picard Invitational. I'm sure the tournament's full, but nonetheless, it's going to be Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Practice round on Friday with that night, they're going to have a Calcutta with live music and a seafood ball. Good thing they didn't say crawfish, because that might not be the case with the price of crawfish nowadays. So then on Saturday will be that scramble, and then Sunday's their full ball. Big tournament coming up there. Then also at Eagle Ridge, they're having the Iberian Medical Center Golf Tournament. It's the 19th annual. That's going to be Friday, April 26th, three-man scramble. Of course, we all know anybody that's ever played in that, they have a great breakfast and food out on the golf course. And it's a big, big fun event for sure. And you get a nice ditty bag with a polo T-shirt and all, Iberia Medical Center. And also on May 3rd, the 11th annual Troop 1 affiliate, Louisiana State Troopers Association Golf Tournament. It also is a three-person scramble, 8 o'clock shotgun start. And they give prizes to the first three places, closest to the hole and all that other good stuff. And then finally in the tournament schedule list is the Live Like Liam McDuff Memorial Golf Tournament. This has been expanding every year since we've had it. So on Friday, May the 17th, they're going to have a two-person scramble, 1 o'clock shotgun start. Then on Saturday In the morning, 8 o'clock shotgun start is their three-man scramble, and that's the big one where they have nice prizes and stuff. And then on Saturday, Saturday afternoon at 1 o'clock or 1:30, the four-man scramble. A lot of options there if you want to play in that tournament. Results of the Coach Mike Desimo Golf Tournament, which was played over there and raised funds for the UL Raging Cajun football team. In the first place went to Arsenal Ford with a 57. Second place, McCullough Groups shot 57 also. They lost in a scorecard playoff. Then Cole Leapery with Leapery's was third for the 58. Then down at Sugar Oaks, they're promoting their weekday prices. Monday and Tuesday, 9 or 18 holes, only $22. Good price there. And like I always say, Monday, they're one of the only courses open on the in our area. Wednesday is their all-day special, $31. Play as many holes as you want for $31. And then, of course, you can participate in that Twilight Scramble, which is on Wednesday. And by the way, the winner of that was Olin Granger, Cheryl Granger, Jason Champagne, and Paul Ladouceur, shooting one under this past Wednesday, March 27th. Then because the weather was poor, they didn't have a Friday tournament. But Sunday shootout, and they moved it to Saturday because of Easter, so because all the courses, or most all the courses, were closed on Easter Sunday. So they had their Sunday shootout on Saturday. Winning flight A was Kevin Ledford with plus +5. Second place, Nicky Melanson, plus +2. Then the B flight was won by Lance Kipp, plus +3, and Glenn Dupuy, plus +2. A lot of names new names I'm seeing playing golf, which is a good thing. And so coming up out at Sugar Oaks, looks like it's going to be a divorced scramble weekend because they're having a tournament Saturday and Sunday, and both are divorced. And the reason they call it divorce is because the men can only hit and the females can only putt. And could cause a divorce there. So I know the one time I played in it, tensions got a little hot with our wives. Nonetheless, the St. Edward School Panda Scramble is going to be played Saturday, April 27th. Once again, two males and two females on a team. $100 per couple, and it's only 9 holes. Then the following day, the Sugar Oaks Association is going to have their rendition of the Divorce Scramble. It's going to be 9 holes as well. Same format, men hit, women putt. It's going to be Sunday, April 28th. A 12 noon shotgun start. Entry fee is $75. So there you go. If you want a man and woman, have a good time out there. You don't have to be husband and wife. You can just be friends. Thanks to Boyd Booty, who just left here and dropped me off this latest edition of the Gator Golf Club's results from Mallard Cove Golf Course in Lake Charles. First place in the first flight went to Michael Bork with plus +4. Second flight went to Seneca Bouton, plus +3. Some names I haven't seen or heard before, so good to see there, too. Players getting involved in these little associations. Their next tournament is going to be April 20th at Atchafalaya. Oops, I'm skipping a page here. Better not do that because this next page is the fresh off the press. The Lafayette Senior Men's Golf Association. Thanks, Lawson Rooley, the president, for getting me this information this afternoon. And so their second Tuesday of the month out-of-town course was played March 12th, and it was played at Atchafalaya. First place went to John Pierce. Second place, Johnny Clavel. Third place, Bill Ball, a name from the past there. And fourth place, Brent Galata. And their next one's going to be at Cane Row for the month of May. It's coming up, or rather April. Their home course tournament was played at ABAB Muni on March 26th, and the format was individual points. First place went to Greg Gautreau. He was plus +2. Second place, Mike Vinegar and Joey Benoit, plus +1. And then fourth place was a tie, Mike Lange, Keith Benoit, and Henry Wiley at even. Once again, thanks, Boyd, for getting me this information. The UL Raging Cajuns get back into action this week at Texas A&M, the Traditions Golf Course in College Station, April 6th and 7th. And then UL Hot and Spicy Classics coming up on Tuesday, May 7th at Oakbourne Country Club. And it's sponsored by the Raging Cajun Athletic Foundation, the Hot and Spicy. And entry fee is $250 per player. Registration begins at 11 with a shotgun start at 1 p.m. Then we're going to end with some high school golf and junior golf. Our last high school match will be played this Wednesday across Acadiana. Once again, 17 teams participating in the high school events, along with seven courses that rotate. And then that championship match is going to be played at La Vaucheyne on April the 10th. And so in the last match that my grandson Drew got to play in at Hebert Muni, he played fairly well. He had one under par and was medalist. Lafayette High was the winner, 165. ESA was second at 167. North Vermilion, 184. And Southside, 222. Then congratulations again to my grandson. He played in a really big state tournament sponsored by the Louisiana PGA along with the Texas PGA. It's called the Lake Charles Spring Classic, and it was played at Mallard Cove, or rather at the Contraband Golf Course. And he won the event, shooting two under par, 140 for the 36 holes. Finished in second was Jacob Presley of Houston, Texas, 142 even. And Drew had 11 birdies in the 36 holes and only one double bogey. So he played really well. Winning that tournament gets him an exemption to the 2024 Blue Bonnet Championship, which is the Byron Nelson Classic. Of course, that's just a qualifier. But if he qualifies, he gets to play in the big tournament. And also a junior tournament, the 2024 Veritex Bank Junior Championship. All that in Texas. And then, once again, congratulations to Drew. He's getting a lot of plugs here. He was named the Louisiana Junior Golf Association Player of the Month for April because of his performance there in the tournament in Lake Charles. And so that'll wrap it up. We know Drew's daddy, Theodore, went to Catholic High School, so coming up in the next segment, we have a special guest from Catholic High School. You're going to want to stay tuned for that, as he's going to talk about all golf, CHS. I know we talk about CHS sports, about football, basketball, baseball, but now we're going to be talking about CHS golf. Stay tuned for that.
Sugar Oaks Golf Course, located at 4002 Sugar Oaks Road, is an 18-hole regulation golf course. This medium yardage layout has adequate length, wide fairways, and not too difficult approach shots. Sugar Oaks Golf Course is a semi-private course that's open to the public. Our guest rates are very attractive, and our monthly dues are accommodating. Give us a call for your tee time. That's Sugar Oaks Golf Course in New Iberia. Phone 337-364-7611. 364-7611.
Golfballs.com carries the latest selection of golf balls, clubs, and gear from brands such as Titleist, TaylorMade, and Callaway. Get custom fit in our state-of-the-art golf simulator or shop our selection of high-quality apparel from Vineyard Vines, Southern Tide, and Bad Birdie. Featuring 20,000 square feet of golf equipment and gear, GolfBalls.com was founded here in Acadiana 25 years ago and remains the world leader in golf customization. Located on Arnold Boulevard next to Harbor Freight Tools and, of course, online at GolfBalls.com.
Hey guys, if you're looking for the top golf experience in Iberia Parish, you need to look no further than Cane Row Golf and Turf Club. Low or high handicappers will enjoy the beautiful greens, the recently refurbished sand traps, and incredibly plush fairways. And by the way, you don't have to be a golfer to enjoy Cane Row. The brand new clubhouse sports some of the best burgers, pizza, wings, and many other choices, along with absolutely the best, most potent margaritas that you've ever tried. So whether it's golf, food, or just some fun, come to Cane Row and enjoy.
Tesh Matters, 10-1, on New Iberia's home for the hits of the 60s, 70s, and 80s. Kane, 107.5.
And welcome back to Acadiana. Tuned in to Kane Radio's Chip Shots. No, it's not football. Box score and I are not talking about football. I did an April Fool's joke. Box score said we'd be talking football, but we're not.
Well, we can if you want to. I mean, I'm always up for football.
Oh, I know you are.
Or, you know, LSU women's basketball. We can talk that, too. It tips off at 6:16, you know.
So We have a special guest. I kind of teased at the end of the segment there. Catholic High School golf coach, moderator, chauffeur, whatever you are, right? You wear a lot of hats, Jonathan Schaap. Welcome aboard, Jonathan, and we're so excited about talking Catholic High sports and the good work you're doing there at Catholic High, taking over a position I finally held for quite a while way back in the day, and I had so much fun in promoting golf in that fashion, and I know you are too. So tell us a little bit about yourself and how you got involved in Catholic High golf.
Sure. Thank you, Mr. Teddy. It's a pleasure to be here with you today. And you are correct. It's some pretty big shoes to fill that you've done years ago.
It's a size 9. It's not that bad.
But just a little bit about me. I'm actually from New Orleans, born and raised. Married a girl from New Iberia. And Jenny and I were living in New Orleans until Hurricane Katrina wiped out the city. And that created a wonderful opportunity for us to land here on 2 feet in Acadiana. And at the time, it was one of the worst things that ever happened to us. But in the end, it actually was one of the biggest blessings of our lives because it gave us an opportunity to move back here and raise our family in Acadiana.
Let me stop you just for a moment. Sure. For Boxcore and our listeners. You married two daughters, Patrick Bonin, and you are brother-in-laws. So Donald Bonin, who Ralph finally knows, is your father-in-law, right? Well, not your father-in-law, but your father in your
so Pat's my brother-in-law.
Pat's your brother-in-law, yeah, sure. Right? And you got tickets this year to go to the Masters, which you can talk about a little bit later, and you're going to have the pleasure of taking your son. So that's pretty special. Boxcore needed to know that because, like I told you off air, he worked for Donald Bonin and was involved in
quite a while. Yeah,
so.
I've been.
But go ahead.
Right down the road at 145 West Main.
Absolutely, we're forever grateful for getting access to those tickets this year.
But so we'll now, question you about that at the end.
I'm a little taken aback that I did not get a Great American Cookie Cake as part of this interview.
Or a ticket to the Masters.
Well, you know,
go ahead, John. Okay. Finish your thing.
No, but when we moved here, you know, my wife was second generation Catholic High, and my kids were definitely going to end up going to school there. So I have 3 children at Catholic High currently. And when I was sitting in the gymnasium, and you look at all the placards on the wall, and you can see all the past champions, there were 3 significant runs in the world of golf at Catholic High where they won multiple state champions in a row. And when my son started school there, my son's an avid golfer. He's been playing since he was about 7. And what I noticed is there wasn't really any recent success. And not only was there no success, they actually didn't even have a team for the past 7 to 10 years. So I started thinking and talking to my wife, and I was like, I would love to have the opportunity for my son to be able to participate in varsity golf. So how do we actually go about doing that? So luckily, about 5 or so years ago, me and one other father had the idea of starting a middle school program again. And what we thought we were signing up for was basically coaching our 2 kids. Ended up being 15 kids signing up. And we were like, whoa, what are we going to do now? But for a period of 4 years, we really worked hard to build that program. And now many of the kids that started early on in middle school are still playing with us today.
Yeah, you know, Jonathan, you hit the nail on the head there. It's really amazing when you kind of think back because, you know, again, my son played for New Iberia Senior High, and that was in the early 2000s. But at that time, they had so many kids going out for golf. You had to qualify to make the team. You know, there was a cut. You had to shoot a certain score to get your bag and all this. And then gradually we saw where it's like, wow, there's no team at New Iberia Senior High. There's no team at Catholic High. There's no team at Westgate. I'm not sure they ever had one. But, you know, it was eye-opening. And yet 24 miles down the road in Lafayette, it was thriving. You know, so, I mean, kudos to you and the other dad for, you know, kind of taking the initiative to try to revitalize this and rejuvenate it. And, wow, I mean, it's pretty eye-opening that many kids really have the interest, you know, and just a wonderful, you know, wonderful endeavor. And I know from what I saw with you know, with again, my son's coach, it's a labor of love. I mean, you know, you're not in it for the money for sure. You know, in fact, it costs you money to coach. But man, the rewards you get from, you know, seeing what golf can do for these young, you know, men's lives, it's got to be very rewarding.
It absolutely is. And just watching them grow in the game, many of these kids are second sport athletes. My son is an avid golfer. This is really what he's focusing on wholeheartedly. But a lot of the kids on the team, they play football, they play baseball, they play tennis. So it takes a concerted effort and a coordinated effort between myself and the other coaches to allow time to play more than one sport. You know, everybody talks about playing multiple sports, but everything is so specialized now to where it's really hard for these kids to really try to excel in more than one of these sports. So we do a good job at Catholic High coordinating efforts to make sure that they can have access to doing more than one thing at one time.
And we heard Teddy, you know, tell us that the season's kind of, you know, winding down and we're getting to the finals and the states and all that. But just to kind of, you know, recap your season so far, how things have gone and kind of what's on the table going forward.
Sure. So we're definitely progressing as a team. We have a very young team. We don't even have any seniors. Actually, a senior from last year is actually helping me coach this year, Jace Quibido. He's one of the assistant pros at Cane Row. He's thinking of maybe pursuing a career in golf.
Made his first hole-in-one recently.
He did. And I still hear about it all the time.
I bet you do.
But he's been a great addition to the program. He was well-respected by the team. And I believe this has given him an opportunity to see, is this truly something he's going to want to do as a career? So I've given him a lot of responsibility. He's helping me coach the JV part of the team. So he goes to all the JV matches. And it's really given him an opportunity to step up and be a leader and really just play out some of those values and skills that he learned at Catholic High. So it's a way for him to give back and really help his alumni and help me help navigate the program. But for this season, we're definitely finding more success. Last year, we were a team of, almost called us the Bad News Bears. We had a team of people who were just starting to play the sport. Most of those players came back. They're progressing every single time they tee it up. We've had multiple players break 40 for the first time in competitive golf. And it's just been very much a labor of love in watching them grow in the sport. These are kids that some of them, these young men, have never played except for maybe a couple years ago. And now they have a golf club in their hand almost every single afternoon. So they are absolutely loving what they're doing. And what they're learning is there's a big difference between playing fun golf with your friends and playing a competitive round when it's under pressure and when every shot matters.
Well, and you play strictly by the rules of golf. You know, that's what a lot of, you know, of our listeners, when you hear, you know, well, the medalist was 38, and they're like, oh, I can shoot 38. Yeah, but you're rolling the ball, you know, you're doing gimmies. You know, it's not a really a 38. You know, you're not taking every penalty stroke that you should be taking, you know. So, it's a huge difference between competitive golf and you know, real golf and what we generally play on weekends. But you mentioned about the you know, practicing every day. Do y'all have a kind of a home course per se?
We do, and this is where I really need to give a plug for Cane Row. You know, Hugh Andre, the owner, and Ryan Desimo, the head pro over there, they really give us unfiltered access to that course. They give us access to the course even on Mondays when it's closed. And I truly credit them for a lot of the progress that we're making, because you need to have access to be able to get better. And not only do we have access to the driving range and the practice facilities, they give them, you know, unfiltered access to the golf course as well. So during the golf season, our players are allowed to go out there as much as they need. And I make sure that they're very respectful and don't get in the way of the paying customers. But the times that they spend out there, I mean, like I said, they're out there every afternoon. Before I came here today, I was telling Mr. Teddy, it was such an awesome feeling watching my son get picked up in a truck full of his teammates, and they're all going to Vosges this afternoon to go play. So it's just fun to see how contagious it's become and the fun that they're having together, because if you can make it fun and where it doesn't become such a grind, I tend to find that these kids continue to progress and develop their skills on the course.
So kind of when you talk about that, you know, making it fun, that kind of leads me into my next question about your philosophy as a golf coach. I mean, obviously, this is kind of a new endeavor for you as well, you know, so a learning experience as far as, you know, what you expect from your team, what's your goals for the team going forward, and do you instill that in practice, or and how do you go about qualifying your team for the matches?
Sure. So great question. So, you know, Catholic High is obviously a Catholic school, and I want to make sure that our players handle themselves with dignity and grace and class, and really handle themselves with good Christian values. So it all starts with that. You know, we all know that golf is a very difficult sport. It's a game of misses. And when you watch the team out there navigate a round of golf, you know, in a 4.5 hour period of time, they experience every single emotion that the human body encounters in that 4.5 hours. And it's how they handle themselves out there that's really going to prepare them for life. What's going to prepare them to be a good husband, to be a good coworker, and really just to be a good contributor to our community here. So I want them to handle themselves with the best of character and integrity. That's what this sport's all about. But from a philosophy standpoint, I'm very upfront with my parents and my players to where I am not a swing coach. You know, I can teach you some basics and mechanics, but what I really bring to the table is really helping them navigate a round of golf. A lot of these players are newer to the sport, and if I can get them to just make better decisions, they can typically find their way back to the clubhouse with a lot less strokes on the card. So that's where we start. You know, I try to get them to think through every decision they make out there and play the percentages. And if they can't hit the shot 7 out of 10 times, well, maybe we should consider making a different decision. And once we get them past that point, that's where the easy strokes come off the card. And then the harder strokes are when you having to make some fundamental changes to your swing, and I try to align them with other swing coaches in the area that might be a good personality fit for them that can really add value much more than I can at this point. So really it's about motivating them, keeping it fun. We do track every score for practice and for matches, and we do use the objective data to make decisions. But I don't just use the numbers to decide who's in the starting roster each week, because they also have to handle themselves well. They need to be doing it the right way. And when you weigh that with the objective scores, it becomes pretty clear who's going to be in the roster for that said week.
So as a dad whose son is playing, do you ever find it kind of hard to, you know, it's a fine line between being a coach and a fan, okay, you know, especially when your son's one of the best players on the team. I mean, so is that a challenge to kind of make sure that you're spreading your attention with the rest of the players as well?
It is, and listen, he has to earn it just like the rest of them. So, you know, fortunately, he's been playing pretty well. But really, I tend to spend less time with him than I do everyone else. And even at the matches, you know, there's so many times you'd love to see your kid play, but we're bouncing around making sure we're supporting all the players out there. But, you know, it'd be an interesting question to ask him, because I think maybe he enjoys me being out there, but he might enjoy me not being out there just as much.
So, you know, Coach, you mentioned earlier about the you know, the state of golf that you found at Catholic High. And Teddy and I have had this discussion many times on the air. You know, when you look at the state of Louisiana as a whole, it's, you know, especially in North Louisiana, man, they're producing some outstanding junior golfers, you know, and kids who are going on to play D1 golf left and right. I think David Toms has had a huge role in that with the academy that he's built up there in North Louisiana and given them access. So just kind of, you know, give us a broad overview of the state of junior golf, maybe in Louisiana and then specifically in Acadiana, and what resources do kids have? Because we know, I mean, the high school golf season is pretty short, okay? Right. But obviously these tours kind of extend into the summer and non-school year. So maybe just kind of expound upon that.
Sure. So you know, I get the pleasure of traveling all across the state and the South with my son when he plays in all of these local tours. And when you see a lot of the same kids week after week. But when you stack them all together and you start geographically putting them into buckets, here in Acadiana, we have some of the strongest golfers out of anywhere in the state. I'm not saying that there's not, you know, top players in the North out in Shreveport and all over the New Orleans area. But as a whole, we have a bigger nucleus of good golfers in Acadiana. And I really trace that back to some of the local pros when my son was just starting out when he was 6 and 7. We had a local pro out at Le Triomphe. Her name was Courtney Shrout.
Oh, yeah.
And she started getting interest, a lot of interest with kids. And even to today, five of my son's best friends that still play competitive golf, they all started when they were 6 and 7 years old with Courtney. And it's not just Courtney. There's so many other pros around here that support local golf. And the courses support it as well. You know, years and years ago, a lot of the pros in different parts of the state would frown upon kids being out on the course. And now, not only are they not frowning upon it, they're leaning in and providing discounts and just different avenues to get kids access to the sport. So we're so very fortunate for that. But for the state of Louisiana, we are very well represented. For the LJGT Golf Tour, that's the Louisiana Junior Golf Association, they have a multitude of events all through the year that are 36-hole events. And it's the winning score is going to be at or under par. If you want to be T10 or top 10, you're going to have to shoot just a few over. So the caliber of golf is very, very well here in the state. And we pull from, you know, Texas and Mississippi and Alabama. And our kids here in Louisiana definitely represent. And they hold their own amongst really good competition.
Jonathan, since you're talking about that subject, I want to give a shout-out to Mr. Robert Boudreau, who coordinated and organized all of these matches for high school golf this year. And he's battling some health issues and wishing the best. You know, people don't understand, you know, the availability of golf courses and those golf courses that will give a Wednesday afternoon to these young kids to enclose their course for them. It's monumental, really. And the fact that he went out and got, and I mentioned it in the first segment, there are 7 courses involved in high school golf this year with 17 teams. So try to coordinate that and get the matches and all. It's a tremendous testament to Mr. Robert Boudreau, who once again is having health issues, and I wish him the best. But to organize and coordinate all of this is really a big task. And we hope and pray he gets well soon so that he can see the fruits of his labor there.
For sure, and I'm glad you mentioned that. He's a wonderful gentleman, and he's done a lot beyond high school golf for golf here in Acadiana. You know, you guys mentioned about access and just opportunities for kids to play. Dependent upon your skill level and your newness to the game, there's so many opportunities out there. For the ones that are just starting to play, the PGA Tour started a new tour called PGA Junior League. It's actually a scramble-style team event. So when a kid is just getting used to playing competitively, it's a lot of pressure. Well, this is a way that they can play with less pressure because you have a teammate to help bail you out.
Yep.
When you graduate from that, there's a local tour called the U.S. Kids Tour. They're one-day events, 18 holes for kids that are kind of newer to the game. Mr. Robert, you just mentioned, he runs the USSSA Tour here all over Acadiana. Those are 18-hole events for pretty good competition. And when you get used to playing those 18-hole events, you can step up to the 36-hole events and the sometimes even the 72-hole events, which is the AJGA events. So they've got a little bit of everything for everybody. It really comes down to how stiff of competition are you looking for, how much are you willing to pay, and how far are you willing to travel. So the days of not having access or the days of not having opportunity, those are over. All you need to go is look, and you'll find it.
Yeah, you know, when you mentioned that PGA Junior Tour event, for a short period of time when I first retired, I worked out of the Wetlands, and they had a team, you know, Wetlands team. And, you know, I was so impressed because they had at least two, sometimes three members of the UL golf team that volunteer to help coach these kids. And, you know, because obviously Mr. David Gowrie is an outstanding pro at the Wetlands, but he has his plate full, you know. But these kids are basically the coaches as well, and they played interleague matches against Oakbourne, you know, really every week. And again, you're looking at a tee sheet that you could sell tee times, even though it's at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, but, you know, course is closed because we got these matches going on, you know, and it's
correct.
Awesome.
And I'll tell you, I forgot to mention one local tour which is significant to the community. It's the Kelly Gibson Foundation. It's mm-hmm. based out of the New Orleans area. Kelly Gibson played on the PGA Tour for a period of time, and he started a foundation that focuses on first responders and veterans, and he has a junior golf tour during the summer, and they play at the best of the best courses, and it's so very well run. And they actually have a mentoring program for the younger golfers, the ones that are 9 years old and I think 11 years old and younger. They have the older players go out and carry their bags and act as caddies and really just be out there to support the kids and get them involved. So it's a really great program, and I would suggest that to any family that is looking to get their kids involved in golf. That is a great way to start.
There's so many cool things now for juniors. You know, you've got the Augusta National obviously has gotten involved with that, you know, drive, chip, and putt, you know, contest that really anybody can qualify for. You know, you don't have to be a great golfer. It helps, but obviously if you do one thing really well, you have a pretty good chance of maybe, you know, getting there. And I watch it every year. It's so fun to watch on TV, and you see the defending champions out there to congratulate the kids coming on. It's just awesome, you know. So anyway, we had kind of talked off air a little bit about this, Jonathan. You know, obviously junior golf has evolved a lot over the years, and we, you know, when you talk about if someone's listening out there and they've got a kid that's 7, 8 showing some interest, you know, I saw this in fact this week a lot of Easter camps are going on at different courses around Louisiana and Acadiana. But talk about maybe equipment, how that's changed over the years, how, you know, maybe the importance of putting your kids with the right, you know, right equipment to, so they don't get frustrated when they first start off playing.
Sure. So if you want to talk about frustration, and then we'll get into the equipment, something that Tiger Woods' dad was a big proponent of is playing the game backwards or learning the game backwards. So rather than going out to the driving range and trying to learn how to hit a driver, which is the hardest club in the bag to hit, bring them to the putting green and teach them how to putt, and then teach them how to chip, and then teach them how to hit longer chips, and then teach them how to hit a wedge on the range and build themselves up so they can find success. And when you're doing it, find games to play while doing it, to where it's not just the grind of hitting another shot, but make it fun. And that's how I've done it with the middle school team for kids that are brand new. And they find they get a little bit more confidence. And, you know, in work and life, confidence breeds more confidence and really good things to happen. So I find playing the game backwards or learning it backwards is a great strategy. Now, from an equipment standpoint, this is another thing that has totally evolved in the past years. There's so many different ways to get access to good equipment at very reasonable prices. I mentioned the U.S. Kids Golf Tour, where they also have a club line where you can buy clubs from U.S. Kids, and they're all color-coded. And they're basically, they fit your child according to your height. So this is the very entry-level way of trying to get your equipment close to being correct. So they measure you, and they're color-coded, and they have a trade-in program. So as your child grows, you can trade those clubs in for a discount on your next set through U.S. Kids. And then what they do is for kids that may not be able to afford, you know, full-price clubs, they can buy it on the used market within the U.S. club system. So that was what my son did for maybe 3 or 4 sets of clubs. And then he graduated to Ping has a line that actually does the same thing. You can trade in your clubs as you grow, because the days of just cutting, you know, adult clubs down to size, the weight of the club matters. And if you want your kids to develop good swing habits, they need to be swinging a club that is the proper weighting, because if not, your swing gets too long, your timing gets off, and those habits are so, so hard to break. So you don't have to spend a lot of money to do it either. Now, when you get into the higher end clubs, you can, again, it's almost like hunting. What do you want to pay is what you're going to get. But there's so many great club fitters in town. My son goes to John Joy at Le Triomphe. He's one of the top club fitters in the country. But, you know, you can go get a really great club fitting at golfballs.com. They have all the monitors. And that would be my suggestion. I tell parents all the time, do not go spend money on new clubs unless they're getting fitted, because you're going to be spending a lot of money on equipment that's probably a really great fit for someone else.
Someone else, someone else at a much lower handicap level, probably.
Correct.
You know. So, just a couple more questions.
Sure.
We again kind of mentioned Tiger in that last segment there, and I mean, for a really long time, you know, junior golfers grew up wanting to emulate Tiger, and you know, you had the every now and then the kid who liked the way Ricky Fowler dressed, you know, wanted to be like Ricky Fowler, you know, or some of those other ones. But now the Tiger's been off the tour for a while, and the tour's kind of changed. Obviously, the face of the tour's changed with LIV Golf and whatnot. I mean, you know, just kind of listening to your kids talk, I mean, do they have any golfers they kind of follow or emulate?
You know, Tiger's still a factor, but, you know, Ricky's a factor, JT's a factor, you've got Scheffler, you've got all of these younger guys that are true athletes. I mean, you look at them, the face of golf has changed because the physical stature of golf has changed. So it's all about style. It's all about having fun. You know, one of the things that we miss the most is the web.com tour being here in Acadiana. And, you know, years ago we made the decision as a family to house a golfer every year, because when you're on that level, you're just trying to make ends meet. And we've become really great friends and follow some of these players. And one of the individuals that stayed with us, his name is Andrew Novak. And he fought his way onto the PGA Tour. He's been on the tour now for the last 3 years. And in the last 2 months, he's had 3 top 10 finishes. So we follow him. We text him all the time. So it doesn't have to always be, you know, that big name that you see. There's always something that can get you to connect to one of those players. And it's really fun with technology now. It's so easy to follow these players, their every move. They're on Instagram. They're on Facebook. And it's fun to just follow their lives, because you have more access to them now than you've ever had before.
Yeah, and just for the, you know, fun of it, a while back I went back to, because I was devastated when I heard that they, you know, weren't not going to come to the, you know, Le Triomphe anymore. But I went back and looked at some of the past results, because it's so interesting to see how many PGA Tour winners played right there and didn't really do all that well at Le Triomphe, you know, but yet they're winning majors and doing this. And Scotty Scheffler played there, I think, 2 or 3 years, and he made the cut, but he didn't have any high finishes. But, you know, again, the future stars were right there, and that is, to me, a real blow to junior golf, you know. So I'm really impressed, though, with what Zurich does. They have some great, you know, programs over there, and hopefully we're going to go this year, I think. Because we were very excited to see Rory's going to play for the first time in New Orleans, you know. So it'll be interesting to see if there's they're still doing that over there for the junior golfers.
I'm sure they are. And that's a great format for a tournament for trying to get more kids involved. I mean, they've got walk-up music on the first tee, the team format, the alternate shot, the four-ball format. It's just a really great environment. My son always enjoys going, and I know Andrew is going to be back again to play, so I'm sure we're going to go and support his efforts.
Good deal.
So, talking about your son, I want you to elaborate on your trip coming up to that state in Georgia where they're supposed to be having a pretty big golf tournament. Tell us when you're going and all the good stuff.
So, you know, I tell my wife it's a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. Well, she's like, I don't buy that anymore, because fortunately this will be my 5th time going. And each time I've gone, I was able to go for all 4 days. So
you had 5 lives.
Yeah. Correct. But you know, one time I've gone with my father and some friends over the course of the years, but I did bring my son when he was 5. And people thought I was wasting a ticket. bringing a five-year-old to a golf tournament, and he does have some memories. Unfortunately, some of the best memories were throwing pine cones in the stream behind 16. But my son is super fired up. He's an avid golfer. He's 15 now. We've got a trip scheduled to go see all four competitive rounds this year. So we're going to take off on Wednesday, play a round on the Trent Jones Trail. Whew. On the drive up.
That's so much fun.
And, we rented a subpar motel in town to stay in like you normally do.
There are no subpar motels when you're playing golf, okay? I mean, it doesn't matter. We literally stayed in one where a tornado hit. And we didn't even know it because we're, you know, all kind of out of it. But what course are y'all playing on the way up there?
We're not sure yet, but it's we're probably going to play right outside of Auburn. I think it's the Grand National, one of those tracks. I think there's two or three right there. But we'll try to get around to golf in. But it's really about just creating great memories, watching great golf, and spending 4 days with my son and doing something that we may not have an opportunity to do again. So. We're looking forward to that and doing all the traditions in town, going to Luigi's for dinner and going having some Italian and really just plopping our chairs down at a hole that we choose and walking the course in the morning and then watching the groups come through in the afternoon. It's just such a majestic place. TV really doesn't do it justice. It's one of the most beautiful places on earth, and everything is just so meticulous down to the grounds and just the way that they run that event. So it's we're looking forward to having a great opportunity.
Make sure you go across the street and buy something from John Daly, you know, if you don't mind. You know.
For sure.
And a T-Bone Steakhouse is also excellent, you know.
You might have to stop there as well.
Yeah. You know, Jonathan, you're absolutely right. Every time I've been there probably 6 or 8 times, and one time with Boxcore, we had a great time doing that. But you get a special feeling when you walk out on the grounds there. It's like, and I don't want to say it, but it's like a spiritual experience. If you love golf the way all of us in this room do, it's indescribable, really, to just think of all the history and tradition and all that goes on with that golf tournament and on those hallowed grounds. So, yeah, your son's old enough now to experience that and enjoy it, and we wish you the best of times, of course.
Well, and I'll tell you, it's such a difficult course as well. And if you really know the game and you look at the topography and the undulations of the greens and the up and downs that they're being challenged with, you know, a score out there is not like shooting or playing on another course. And just there's just that appreciation when you see it in real life, how difficult that course really is. And when you actually walk all 18, just physically what it does to you and the elevation changes, specifically even on number 10, you just do not understand what that looks like by watching it on TV.
I gained a whole new admiration for 70-year-old caddies that are carrying a bag for 72 holes, For sure, yep.
All right, we've got about 2 more minutes, Boxcore, if you want to wrap it up with something.
Well, I mean, you know, I just want to thank Jonathan for what he's done for the program, you know, and resurrected it. And boy, I sure hope that, you know, maybe some of the other programs in the area could do that as well. You know, that would be awesome.
Well, and I'll tell you, if I could offer any advice to a father or someone or a teacher that's looking to revamp a program or start a program, I would say there's never the perfect time. There's never going to be enough funds. There's never going to be enough time, but there's no better time than right now to start. Because what I noticed is when we did this and kids started to show excitement, the people around you that love the game of golf start offering their assistance, whether it be monetarily or through their time, to help you run and support the program. So just jump in. Jump in. If you love the game, this is the absolute way to grow it. And the people around you that want to do the same, that don't understand how to do that, will jump in and throw in their help and support.
Great. Well, so, thank you so much, and we appreciate it. Boxcore, we appreciate your questions that you asked. So
the only thing I didn't get to ask was whether he ever tried to get Drew Sleiman in the transfer portal, but, you know,
I don't think he has any eligibility.
Well, I know that meant like last year, you know. But
all right. Well, Jonathan,
good luck, Jonathan. Yeah, thank you.
Good luck, and thanks for participating. We look forward to maybe hearing from you in the future after the state tournament to see how Catholic High pans out in the tournament. That's, I think, April the 10th at La Vauchaine. And good luck to all of y'all. All right, thanks for tuning in. Got news coming up next.
Hey guys, if you're looking for the top golf experience in Iberia Parish, you need to look no further than Cane Row Golf and Turf Club. Low or high handicappers will enjoy the beautiful greens, the recently refurbished sand traps, and incredibly plush fairways. And by the way, you don't have to be a golfer to enjoy Cane Row. The brand new clubhouse sports some of the best burgers, pizza, wings, and many other choices, along with absolutely the best, most potent margaritas that you've ever tried. So whether it's golf, food, or just some fun, come to Cane Row and enjoy.
GolfBalls.com carries the latest selection of golf balls, clubs, and gear from brands such as Titleist, TaylorMade, and Callaway. Get custom fit in our state-of-the-art golf simulator or shop our selection of high-quality apparel from Vineyard Vines, Southern Tide, and Bad Birdie. Featuring 20,000 square feet of golf equipment and gear, GolfBalls.com was founded here in Acadiana 25 years ago and remains the world leader in golf customization. Located on Arnold Boulevard next to Harbor Freight Tools and, of course, online at GolfBalls.com.
Sugar Oaks Golf Course, located at 4002 Sugar Oaks Road, is an 18-hole regulation golf course. This medium yardage layout has adequate length, wide fairways, and not too difficult approach shots. Sugar Oaks Golf Course is a semi-private course that's open to the public. Our guest rates are very attractive, and our monthly dues are accommodating. Give us a call for your tee time. That's Sugar Oaks Golf Course in New Iberia. Phone 337-364-7611. 364-7611.
You're listening to KANE 1240 AM and K298 CQ 107.5 FM, New Iberia.
The voice of the Tesh.